Happy Sunday. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and we are in November.
We're in November, and it's been chilly.
It has been. You know, and it's one of those things where I just, like, I like the warm weather, but I do like this coolness. Like, it's not frigid cold. There's, like, this breeziness to it, you know?
It's refreshing. I mean, I do not like cold weather. It is not my thing. And I stay bundled up, you know, from head to toe, and I never get warm. My hands are always cold. But there is something fun about the change in the season. I do enjoy that.
Yes.
I like hot drinks, and I love ramen, so I love the hot beverages and things like that. So that's been kind of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I wish that our listeners could see, like, inside the studio. Because this whole time I have been like creepily staring at you because
me?
Yes, because I feel like Urek always has the best clothing swag.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Like
shout out to Andre Love before he left because he hooked us up with these jackets and I'm not lying. This is really a jacket I wear all the time.
I
wear it out like and people are like, "Why are you wearing a work jacket?" I was like, "Well, I mean, it's super warm and nice."
Oh no, I'm like, I'll work for y'all.
Yeah,
like, no,
yeah.
So I'm definitely
he hooked us up.
Well,
yes, Andre.
So, you know, I was on the way to the studio. I was thinking, I was like, okay, you know, in our opening, you know, we usually go really rogue with some random stuff. So I was like, how can I throw Whitney off today? So I was starting to think. So I would love for you to share, what is something about yourself that listeners may not know? Like, I feel like we share a lot about ourselves in general, but I didn't know if there's like some like fun fact or randomness or something about you that people would be like, oh, I didn't know that about her.
You know, that's kind of crazy because I'm very random. I just am. Like, there's a lot of things that you wouldn't suspect that I'd be into and that I like. And I feel like a lot of things that we talk about, our listeners may already know. But I'm going to throw this one out there. You already know this. And I always think that this is funny because this is kind of like something that you would not assume. But, like, I love professional wrestling. Not like real wrestling, but, you know, like the fake/real wrestling. I love it. It is the best. It is so entertaining to me. And I will, like, go when they come to, like, Birmingham. And those of you that have been listening, like, you already know this about me. And, like, I mean, I haven't watched it in a while just because, you know, life gets a little bit busy, but it cracks me up. Like, I find so much joy
out of watching.
It's entertaining. It's something that you don't, I don't know, you just don't have to really think about it, or you just go and it's fun. And so that was literally one of the first dates that me and my boyfriend had. And he was like, said something about WWE wrestling. And I was like, you know, yeah, CM Punk's, he's my favorite wrestler. He didn't wrestle anymore. He's at another company now. Anyway, just so you guys know. And so it was like love at first sight. Like the moment I said that, he was like, you could see like his eyes light up like, what?
It was probably spiritual, honestly.
It really was. We had this deep connection.
Oh my gosh.
So what about you, Sheena? I'm curious.
Okay, so this is like kind of in a similar vein. So I used to be really into magic. I just remember as a little girl, I was 4 years old, and I went to see David Copperfield perform.
No, that's awesome.
And, like, I thought he would, like, as a four-year-old, I thought he was so hot. And so, actually, when I turned 22, I went to one of his shows in Vegas, and I got to be part of the show.
Shut up.
Yes, so he made me disappear.
You and your luck with you and, like, being on, what, The Price is Right and all that kind of stuff, you have the best luck.
It was very random.
Huh.
But then, honestly, after knowing how the trick happened, it kind of lost its,
so,
like,
wait a minute. He told you the trick?
Well, you kind of, like, had to experience it, like, as far, because it was a group of 13 of us that disappeared from the stage, and then we magically appeared, like, in another part of the theater.
You may have to tell me after the break, unless you're sworn to secrecy,
no,
like, magician secrecy.
They said that we could, like, you know, tell friends and family members, we just don't need to, like, be, you know,
broadcasted
exactly.
over the radio.
But yeah. No, I mean, and so, and honestly, like, even I had gotten my dad into magic, too.
What?
Like, we had watched all these videos. So there are a couple of, like, card tricks that I used to do where I would get somebody to pull a card, and then they would write it on a sheet of paper. I would burn the sheet of paper, rub the ashes on my arm, and then the card would show up.
Witchcraft.
Yes.
Sheena,
I've never done it for my husband, and
okay.
I never did it while we were dating because I was afraid he was going to break up with me.
You know what's funny? Now that you told me that, I really want you to do a card trick one day, and maybe, like, we could put on, like, our Instagram or something like that and just be like, check out Sheena and her skills, and then I could rattle off, like, wrestling moves or something.
I might do it. But, okay, so I feel like that was a good introduction to the show.
I mean, if you're not hooked, you're hooked now if you're listening to us.
Has nothing to do with the rest of our show. But
never,
as
never
always,
does.
We have amazing guests with us. And we're going to leave you on that cliffhanger because, you know, after we just totally shocked you with these interesting things about ourselves, you have to stay after the break. So grab something to drink, wash your hands, get cozy and bundled, all the things. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you are just now joining us, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because our introduction was a very random.
Magic. WWE.
Yes. All the things.
All
the things that make us charming. But, you know, on the show, Whitney, we love being able to showcase different ways that students and really our UA community as a whole are able to get involved. And today is no exception, right?
That's right. And I think what's cool about our show, you know, we're always like biased of our show, but I mean, like, that's just the way it is. We always try to encompass our wellness will. We always try to focus on things that, you know, whether it's spiritual or financial, which I believe is next week, and just social, emotional, and all these things play a part of your well-being. And so we have these resources and opportunities on campus. So, yeah, it's really great that we bring these things in,
Absolutely.
Tie it all together.
So, without further ado, what we have for you guys today is we will be talking about the Center for Service and Leadership. Mm. And to do that, we have our wonderful guests, Courtney Thomas and Zoe Winston. Thank you both for being with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having us today.
Yes. Now, okay, so before we go into business talk, one of the things that we have to do with all of our guests is we have to know the deets about each of you. You know, tell us your academic background. Even professional background, your role at the Center for Service and Leadership, and any tea that you want to just share about yourself in general, we are down for that. So, Zoe, Courtney, whoever would like to go first, we will let y'all go.
Hi, my name is Zoe Winston. I'm so excited to be here today. I serve as the assistant director at the Center for Service and Leadership, and I've been in that role for about 2 years now. Prior to that, I actually was also on campus still serving at the Women and Gender Resource Center and did a lot of violence prevention and education work. I have a master's degree in higher education, and I'm a two-time alumna of the University of Alabama. So
roll tide.
Roll tide. Love UA, and really came into this role and work through a social justice background and approach the work that we do. And I know we'll get into that through that lens. And it's been really wonderful and love the things that I get to do at the Center for Service and Leadership.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm Courtney Chapman Thomas. I'm the Senior Director of Service and Leadership here at UA. And I get to live out my calling every day at this job. I was an undergrad at the other institution in the state, and we'll just move on from there. But at that place in my life, I found myself through actually engaging in service internationally and realized that I needed to be part of solution making. I always say I'm not really good on figurative signs. I needed a literal one. And so there was one on campus that said, "Today I woke up and looked into this world and thought, man, someone should do something about it." And then it said dot, dot, dot. And then I realized today that someone was me. It said, "Become a social worker." I had no idea what a social worker was, but I was like, there's my sign. That's what I want to do. I had an immersive experience in the southern continent of Africa, had seen poverty, had seen just incredible human beings and resiliency, and I just knew I wanted to be part of it. So I became a social worker that day. I have a bachelor's of social work. I went on to Baylor University to get a master's in social work. I specialized in global social issues of poverty and how that affects people's mental and physical health. From that, I launched into the DC world in policy and politics, working with the State Department and refugee resettlement. And then from that, fell into higher education about 15 years ago and began to work through diversity, equity, inclusion offices on social justice initiatives. And 8 years ago, I'm originally from Alabama, as you heard, and my husband said he wanted to come here. He was enamored with my granny, that she wore pearls, loved football, and made the best pies. And so he wanted to live in the South. So we returned to the University of Alabama, and this was the perfect job for me. It's where I feel that my skills and my talents and my passion, but also that deep intrinsic value that I believe in the dignity of all human beings, it all met in this role. And so it's a really cool place for me to be, and my husband gets to work here. And if I don't quit, I'll be an alumna of Alabama with my doctorate in social work in a few years as well. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
That is amazing. And, you know, I honestly, like, while you guys were talking, I was in such silence because I am just in awe of both of your backgrounds and what you bring to your department. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of like having this like geek out fangirl moment because I'm literally like, oh my gosh. Like, and sometimes I forget just the depth and breadth of experience that our student life professionals have prior to coming to UA. So just thank y'all both for being with us
today. And taking your time out to be with us. That's amazing. So I'm kind of curious too, you know, just for our listeners that maybe don't know, you know, what you guys do over there at Center for Service and Leadership, but what is the mission and role for you guys on campus?
Absolutely. So the CSL really strives to enhance the student experience through giving active and diverse engagement opportunities in our community. Like, we believe that these meaningful and experiential learning opportunities is actually where true change comes. And so we believe that when you're getting to immerse yourself in the community, you're enhancing leadership skills that will take you beyond the capstone into truly creating a better society for all. We really are committed to creating a culture of producing active citizens. You know, we say it a little different. We talk about the Lorax and its quote about unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. So with our students, we say we're just teaching you to live your unless because there is a gap that only you can fill. And when you fill that, our world will be a better place. And so that's the essence of kind of what we do every day, is helping them tap into what they care about, what they're passionate about, what injustice they don't sleep about at night, and then giving them the skill sets to actually create change in that, instead of being overwhelmed and depressed by the circumstances, showing them that they can be an agent of change for a better society.
I think that's one of the things that I absolutely love the most, is not only do we kind of help them learn more about the world around them and how to really care and live out that unless, but we get the opportunity to equip them with the tools to do something about it. We oftentimes get to have these wonderful conversations that empower students, that instead of getting overwhelmed and burdened by all the things you can't change and all the things that you can't do, you get to change the things that you can, and that doesn't stop you from doing the things that you're able to do right exactly where you are. And seeing that transformation in students and seeing where students go after that is so amazing. And seeing the ways in which they're changing the world is such a cool thing that we get to do every day.
And I think that's a, you know, great segue into what would have been our next question as far as, you know, what do you guys love most about working in the Center for Service and Leadership? And, you know, you guys have touched on that, but is there anything that you would want to expound on, you know, related to that and what you love?
I love the aha moment. There's this beautiful moment when a student has stepped outside of themselves and they're engaging in their community, in their world, and they are becoming burdened by societal, institutional, constructive problems, and they all of a sudden realize, I can do something. It is just, there's even a face that goes with it. And I think about it all the time because in our program Beyond Bama, we create a microcosm. And so you get to see that transformation that we work with students for sometimes 4 years to move them through the active citizens model. But you see, there's this moment where they just, it clicks. And, you know, it's not that they're like, oh, I need to throw out this major. I need to go mm-hmm. be a helping. Forget being an engineer. Forget being a business. They realize that they have the ability to do whatever they do with it. Mm-hmm. And what I love is not just watching them change Tuscaloosa, but I love watching them change the communities they go to. We've mm-hmm. got students in places like Corporate Sam's Club mm-hmm. and Corporate Walmart who are leading diversity, equity, mm-hmm. and inclusion committees because of the conversations they were taught and learned how to have in our office. We have students that are lawyers in Equal Justice Initiative mm-hmm. and are fighting for people's human rights, still using their skill sets that they got, and they figured out how to keep doing that. Mm. And that's what I love. That's why I keep going every day is because I know that we created a ripple mm-hmm. that my children will live in a better world because of these students and what they do when they leave here.
Ooh, I'm getting chills. Like, I literally was like, oh, God, can I? Okay, I'm coming over.
Yes. No. Well, I love how you guys have just mentioned all of that. And I know that we've got to take a quick break, but we want to continue this conversation.
Oh, of course.
So, you guys, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. We'll catch you on the flip side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And I will have to mention, Sheena, I did miss you last week.
I know.
But I'm glad that things are under control.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, which... I wasn't sure if you guys acknowledged, like, on air my absence.
We did, and we very well miss you. So I have an idea for a show coming up to talk about some scary nutrition things that we didn't get a chance to really talk about.
Okay.
So listeners, stay tuned. But we're taking a break from our fitness and nutrition talk today, and we're talking about Center for Service and Leadership with Courtney and Zoe. And so far, we've only had a little bit of our show, but I feel very inspired myself because it's actually brought back some memories when I was in college and I would do mission trips and I'd go to Ecuador. And I would just, that changed my life of just seeing different people living in different situations. And it makes you understand that everybody has purpose and mm-hmm. it helps you to see, you know, where you fit in the broader picture. And so that's kind of been, you know, our talk today. It's just how our students can get involved and the opportunities that are out there. And I know it's had to have been hard with the pandemic. I feel like I don't think we're out of the woods or anything, but I feel like things are definitely better. At least I feel that way, that, you know, moving forward, we're trying to get moving and out there. And, you know, I'm curious for you guys, you know, how has the pandemic affected the work in your office and the things that you're able to offer and do? I mean, I know you guys go abroad, and I can't imagine in 2020 you guys were able to go abroad. So, I mean, like, how's it been for, you know, these times?
I immediately think about, and I don't know if we kind of made it clear, so we work really closely with a lot of nonprofits and organizations that mm-hmm. serve the community. And I think back to March of 2020 mm. where students had to abruptly leave campus, but the need not only was still there in Tuscaloosa, but in many cases grew for our community mm. partners. For example, the food bank had lines 2 miles long of people mm. who all of a sudden were facing the loss of multiple incomes and had an immediate need for food. And so we really had to shift in a lot of ways and immediately help mm. those community partners mm. in the ways that we could and mobilize in the ways that we could. And it was really amazing to see students pivot not only in that immediate need, but through last year and into this year, instead of just stepping back and saying, oh, well, we can't do what we normally do, mm. so we're going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Instead, mm-hmm. they were so creative in thinking about, well, what can we do mm. to continue to make a difference? And so, Whitney, you mentioned one of our programs, Beyond Bama, which is our alternative break program where we go and serve domestically and abroad on service mm-hmm. trips. Obviously, they couldn't travel mm-hmm. last year, but they were incredibly creative and still did service mm. in ways that they could. And so they partnered with an organization in Memphis and served as virtual conversation partners over Zoom for refugees that were mm. learning English. And they... built 50 water filters that are going to serve 500 people across the world for 10 years to get clean access to water. And so it was really cool to see. And that's just one small example. Mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about Owl's Pals.
Yeah, and Owl's Pals and serving Bama. The biggest thing is that we taught, I think we saw the teaching come to fruition of this is still our problem. This mm-hmm. is still our community. And so we also saw the amazing skill set that comes from emerging in the community of creative problem solving. Mm-hmm. They were so creative. And Owl's Pals, we still had kids in elementary school that needed that extra mentoring. Mm-hmm. They needed that. Mm-hmm. They weren't in school. They weren't getting that. They needed that extra help for the reading. We already knew there was going to be a reading slide. So what did Allison Espy and her team do? They figured out how to do Owl's Pals virtually. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible, and I know that people are like, oh, well, that makes sense now. Well, that's because we live virtually now. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it wasn't. And getting elementary school kids in communities that didn't have access to broadband, that didn't have access to laptop, figuring out our technology need, figuring out how to train students virtually, how to get them in pods to still keep child protection, and to be so successful in doing that for a year and a half, they were able to keep our partnerships going. Serving Bama put 177,000 hours of in-person contact in our local community partners that doors could not have been open had those students not walked in. Mm. And we figured out how to do it safely, and we walked hand in hand with Temporary Emergency Services, West Alabama Food Bay, and Wings of Grace, and Therapeutic Riding of Tuscaloosa, because our community still deserved and needed us more than ever. And so as we looked across the state and the nation, most institutions just said, we're sorry, we're stepping back. But that's not what Alabama did. That's not what our students did. And actually, I think we doubled down last year. And I think we see the benefits of that now. We've grown more relationships. We also figured out how to do both. We have more capacity now because we know how to do it in person the normal way. We also know how to do it safely the normal way. But we also have these other options that then have provided so much access for the student who couldn't drive to local elementary school every day. We now still have an opportunity for you to engage virtually. And you still get that connection, that community, that bond in the community, that satisfaction of continuing to do well. So I think one of the benefits of COVID, even though there's so many things, is that we learned how to be creative, and we learned more about the connection and the interconnectedness of community than we ever had before.
Yes.
I love that, because as you guys were just talking about how your students really, you know, took charge and it being a challenge accepted moment, I think of it as like the ultimate pivot. You know, they really took that on, and they owned that. And when I was looking at your website, you know, there are so many different signature programs and the community action teams that you guys have. You guys mentioned Owl's Pals, and you know, I would love for you to, you know, whether we start with Owl's Pals or any of the other signature programs, tell us a little bit about each of those different offerings, if you guys.
Absolutely. So I can start with Owl's Pals just since we mentioned that. Owl's Pals is our one-to-one elementary school mentoring program. Right now, we are in four local elementary schools as well as one community nonprofit after-school program. And what that program really does is works with students to enhance math skills and reading skills, as well as continue to mentor and develop character development and STEAM programs. So it's really giving children in our community that little extra help academically while helping them develop as humans, but also that connection to the collegiate campus. We know that 80% of the children in Tuscaloosa have never stepped foot on the University of Alabama campus. And so another part of this is to talk to those kids and to show them peers from here and remind them that they can do that too, and academics are how they can continue to get there. And so it's a really cool program. It was started 10 years ago by Star Bloom, who is a huge community change agent in Tuscaloosa, has always fought for against social injustice in our community. And so it's her legacy that continues to live on. And, you know, it's a really great opportunity. A student commits to one day a week, one afternoon actually a week, and gets one kid, and they spend that whole semester with that kid. So you really get to develop that bond. And we have students that will get a first grader and we'll take them all the way through the fifth grade program. This college student will stay with them all 4 years. And we see transformation. Those students have higher attendance at school. They have higher grades. They feel better about education. They see a future, all of that through the assessment they do. But also our students that mentor have higher GPAs than the average student, because if you're telling someone else academics matter, then you all of a sudden like, oh gosh,
I got to share that too.
In addition to Al's Posted, we have 5 community action teams, and I can talk about the others really briefly. We have Beat Auburn Beat Hunger, which is an annual food drive that we engage in a friendly competition with Auburn University, and each of the schools raise funds and donated goods that benefit their respective food banks that serves the food bank about 10 months out of the year, and that food bank serves a 9-county area, and so it's a huge effort. And then those students also engage in advocacy and awareness around food insecurity. We have a philanthropic organization that one of our community action teams called UA Dance Marathon. It's a dance marathon program that raises money that benefits Children's of Alabama, which is near and dear to my heart. My kid went to Children's with, I've had a kid go to Children's, and so it's a great thing. Beyond Bama is our alternative break program where students get to serve domestically and abroad. And then finally, we have Serving Bama, which plugs our students into weekly service sites. And they're all great teams.
I love that. You know, it seems like there's like such a diverse offering because there's a lot of different ways depending on the student interests. And again, you guys have shared so much information, and we have to take a break, but I want to continue this conversation. So you guys grab something to drink, run to the restroom. We'll catch you on the flip side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
It's Sunday and you're listening to Fit to Be Tie with Sheena and Whitney, and it's been a very uplifting show today. Yes. I will have to say, you know, we always talk about, like I said, the fitness and wellness stuff, but there is that emotional component, spiritual component, and serving your community and serving others is always something that, obviously, it's the right thing and good thing to do, but you do benefit yourself from it because you see the world in a different way. And I think that that's very important to remember. And just talking with Courtney and Zoe today, y'all are so passionate, and that's what's so amazing is I love talking to people that are passionate for what they do, because I start to like kind of feed off of it. Like I kind of lean into it, and I'm like, what can I do now? You know, and you have that effect on people. And I think that that's amazing. So I hope you guys are listening to our show today, you know, are getting pumped about maybe ways that you can get involved and, you know, Beat Auburn Beat Hunger. It's going on because the Iron Bowl isn't too far away. What's our deadline?
So Beat Auburn Beat Hunger is currently going on right now. And our deadline to get all of our donations in is Thursday, November 18th.
All right, guys.
We'll have our big reveal on that Friday before we head into Thanksgiving break. So students can get involved by donating or creating their own donor profile where they can crowdfund on Bama Pulse, which is our community engagement platform. They can donate. Anyone can donate physical canned goods at any of the Red Barrels. They are across campus and all over Tuscaloosa. I think we have multiple hundreds of barrels out in the community. But that's a great way to get involved and help address food insecurity in the area. And then we have some other like really cool opportunities as well right now. Courtney talked a lot about Al's Pals, and we are actually recruiting mentors for the spring semester. And so if anyone is interested, check us out on our website and apply to be a mentor and make a difference in a child's life today. And I think the other big thing where you can get plugged in right now is after a hiatus last year, Beyond Bama is traveling again. Yay! And we're so excited. We are going on 2 winter break trips.
Wow.
They are both domestic trips. We will be traveling to Little Rock, Arkansas, and Memphis, Tennessee. and working with some wonderful organizations that we've had partnerships with before. And students can apply, again, on our website to attend one of those winter break trips the week after finals. And faculty and staff can actually get involved with Beyond Bama, too, as a learning partner and attend a trip and really get to be part of a transformational experience with students.
So with that said, and, you know, thinking about Beyond Bama and the past opportunities where y'all have gone international, you know, when I've heard the locations that you guys have been to in the past, and actually having a coworker, Charlotte Potonic, who has served in that capacity before, and her being a great advocate for just doing that experience, do you find yourself having professional staff and faculty that are just like, oh my gosh, like, I want to go on this because I want to go to this country. Like, what has that experience been like? Or just maybe even if not necessarily being that aggressive, but just a strong interest in general where folks want to get involved in that way.
Absolutely. I'll say every time in years past when I talk at the divisional meeting about needing them, people would run me down on the side of the room and always want to go and immerse. And then, of course, once you go once, you're hooked. I mean, not to be funny and not to say, but I feel like that's how I got to poach Zoe so long ago. Was
I think it is how you did, actually.
I was recruiting her to go with us to Nicaragua and working on a medical brigade with our nursing students and an alternative break, because once you go and you get to see it, and as you talked about fitness and health and the psychological benefits of service are just incredible, of how they are, you know, great to help with stress management, and they're good to produce serotonin levels, and cognitive behavioral therapists talk about service all the time and how that can really help restart your mental health. And once you get that feeling intrinsically, you see tangible change. But then you see college students who sometimes get a terrible rap, caring about everything in the world that is not them, that you would never, on a stereotypical front page of a paper, you're like, this isn't a college student. You see that, and you want to be a part of that. And so then people are like, please, I want to go every year. Like, I want to sign up to go every year. And we have amazing faculty who will be like, a student just asked them, and they would have never thought of this as an opportunity. And then they go, and like Angela Billingsley, she wants to go every break now. But all because one student who was in her class was like, hey, you want to go with us? And so it's also the power of the invite, right, that we have seen. In the division, we're like, okay, let's get on a rotation. But outside, we've seen how it can transform even our faculty relationships.
That is amazing. That, and you know, you when you think about all the places that you have had Beyond Bama experiences, both domestic and international, where have those locations been?
Oh, gosh. So one of the great things about Beyond Bama is that we're really intentional with creating sustainable partnerships. And so there are lots of locations where we try to go year after year. And so we partnered with an organization that was run by community members in Nicaragua for many years. We've been unable to go for several years just because of some instability in that region. So we'll often go to the same location time and time again. And so that's looked like going to Costa Rica. We have wonderful partnerships in Alabama and do alternative break trips in Alabama with with organizations like Alabama Rural Ministries. And we have a veterans housing program that we partner with in northern Alabama. As well, we go to Memphis, Little Rock. I think we're planning on also going to D.C. in the spring. Doing some disaster recovery in Louisiana in the spring as well. And so really, it's all over the place. Were we in Ghana?
We were in Ghana, and we were set to go to Nepal before all the things, but all with the same partner, Wine to Water. So it's the same intentional work where they are looking to build not the wells that cost the communities too much and don't work if someone's there, but this new water filtration system that you can teach people how to build. You use local products, and it lasts for 10 years without maintenance and things. So, but our big part of our program is we work so hard to be sustainable, ethical, and community empowering. That social justice lens of service is very important to us. We never want to come across as volunteerism or even harm service. And so really our partnerships, even here, are about walking alongside people in sustainable ways. And so we translate that from our relationship with Children's Alabama to our relationship with the local community partner, the House, all the way to our international partners. It's just really making sure that we are staying above reproach, doing what is actually needed in that ethical, community empowering way.
Wow.
I'm just like, you guys were made for this. Like, you know, again, we've said we know why you guys are in your roles. And so we're just grateful, because all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have to do something. I have to serve others right now, you know.
You know, and I'm curious too, just kind of taking this all in and listening, you know, what has been for each of you your most memorable or rewarding experience working maybe in your job currently, or maybe just in life? Like, what, you know, Courtney, you talked about like your aha moment when you saw the sign and you were like, what am I going to do today? Like, am I going to be that change? So can you think of something that you want to share with our listeners?
So Courtney kind of alluded to this earlier, but before I was working with the Center for Service and Leadership, I served as a learning partner for a Nicaragua trip, and it was absolutely wonderful. We were a medical brigade, and our nursing students partnered with some of the medical students in Nicaragua who were going out to rural communities and setting up clinics so people could get both preventative and standard health care. And obviously, I did nothing medical. I was there to help facilitate the learning for our students. But, and I think Courtney laughs every time I say this, I had this moment where we were in the rain. We were, like, on this mountain, and we had to stop at a restroom. And I had to, and y'all are going to never invite me on the show again after I say this, I had to, like, pee off the side of a mountain in the rain. And I was like, what did Courtney Chapman Thomas get me into? But then for whatever reason, I was like, listen, if I'm willing to do this with students and set this example, I was like, we've got something going on here. And it was such a transformational trip, and I love getting to keep in touch with the students from that trip. You know, one of the students that she was our trip leader, she was a traveling nurse during COVID and like is doing all these wonderful things now. And so I think, yeah, that was like what really hooked me with the Center for Service and Leadership, and one of the kind of my fondest memories of the CSL.
Yeah, I just love how continuing being pushed by our students. I think that's what's so great, is because I love what we do every day, and goodness, I could cry about it. But I love what we do every day, and I believe that it matters, and I believe that outside of the fact that we have higher retention numbers for students that are engaged in service, and you know, there's benefits academically, like, because I believe the world's a better place, but they also push us to not be complacent. Because I do it in my job every day, I'm like, I'm doing my part. And there was this one time a few years ago, and this incredible conversation with the UADM kids. It was like midnight in the office after a really hard day. We had actually lost a miracle kid that day, or they won their battle that day and went. And so we were talking, and we were talking about how we were going to continue to live out that legacy. And it really pushed me to think, this job wasn't the only place that I needed to live out this legacy. And my husband and I had always been taught about that we were called to foster care. And honestly, that day and that conversation was the night that I knew that, like, that was the piece that I was going to do. That was how I needed to move that into my life, because it is my life, and my job have been so simultaneous forever, because it is my passion and my calling. But this was a personal thing that I knew that I needed to do. I'm pushing students every day to do it in their lives, however they do it, whatever that was. And I knew foster care was the next step for us. And so my husband and I have been, you know, foster parents for 3.5 years. We have 2 forever loves that came to us that are through foster care, who circumstances were brought from tragedy and loss, but now we, you know, get to be a part of their forever. And we have 2 more little loves in our house right now that we're loving and taking care of while their family gets healthy. And so I think it was because of that conversation with those students. And what I love about it is that we're not just teaching them and pushing them, they're teaching and pushing us. And so I think every day, and the students that were in that room, I group text my babies pictures of them every week. They're mm-hmm. even coming to a Forever Day celebration because they were such a big part of even pushing me in that personal part that has changed my whole world mm-hmm. now. And my sweet Dottie and sweet Carson are the most beautiful examples mm-hmm. of what it means to step outside of yourself and be loved in a place that I didn't even deserve to go. But mm-hmm. it's just been really cool that when you're doing what you're supposed to do, how it affects all parts of you. And I think that's my mm-hmm. goal, is to continue to teach students that no matter what, you keep doing, and it will make you whole, and it will make mm-hmm. the world whole. And we get to do it together.
That is beautiful. The fact that you're sharing your passions, that you're sharing your heart, that, you know, you're definitely sharing some vulnerability there. We're so grateful for that. And I know, you know, we've got to take a quick break to and then end the show. But just thank y'all. And y'all, while you are collecting your feels after just listening to everything, we will take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Thank y'all for listening to us today. We've had all the feels. I feel like that emotional component of just feeling a part of something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I kind of think that sometimes we get really busy doing so much for other people, and it sounds like y'all are very busy doing that. So just, you know, before we close, we got a few minutes. You know, how do you guys practice self-care? What does that even look like? We always ask our guests this, and me and Sheena have very different views on this, of how, like, self-care doesn't always have to be traditionally what is said, you know, in our field or in the media or whatever, in fitness, like go do yoga or whatever. It doesn't even have to be that way. It's just, what do you enjoy doing to take a break?
And just like recenter
and
yourself.
Yeah.
So something that I picked up during the pandemic with my spouse was, we couldn't go anywhere, obviously. And so we started doing at-home Friday date nights.
Aww,
and
nice.
We made a commitment that every single Friday we would either order takeout or make, like, a really fun, cool meal together, because we both really love food. And we would put our phones away mm-hmm. and just spend that time with one another. And, you know, we're parents of two young children, Bill and Scott. They're 3 and 5 years old, and so... And we both work, like, really busy, intense jobs, and so sometimes it can feel like two ships passing in the night. Mm-hmm. Being intentional about connecting has been something that's been keeping me afloat over the past year.
And I like how you say keeping you afloat, because I think in a lot of times that's our reality these days, you know? I feel like even for like our department, we've had like different life circumstances, and I told my boss, I'm like, I feel like our department is on life support just to survive the semester. Like, not in a bad way, but it is what it is. So, sorry to interject.
That's great.
So I will say self-care is something that I struggle and still have to work on. Mm-hmm. I know deep down intrinsically that I can't give from an empty cup, but sometimes it is hard for me to figure out how to do that. We have 4 people under 5, and 2 of them are 6-month-olds, and so can't do anything without us. And so figuring that out really has been a transition. And I think that's what we don't talk about self-care as a lot, is that what was self-care for my husband and I back when we didn't have kids is drastically different now. And so it's learning to evolve as we evolve to figure that out. I will tell you the one thing that is for me, by me, when everybody's asleep, is I love a bubble bath.
Good for you.
And a glass of a grown-up red drink.
I'm hoping alcohol is involved with that.
And, you know, and I just chill. Just go pretend, and it's when everybody's asleep, so no one's crying or coming in or visitors in the bathroom, because you know that's everybody's favorite time to visit. But that is something that I do just to get away. But again, I'm still working on it, still trying to figure it out, and hopefully it'll continue to get better. This is just kind of the season that we're in right now, and we've chosen to be in it, and we're so grateful to be able to love and help our littlest ones get healthy. But we need to continue to figure out how do we do it. And our 5-year-old Carson and 3-year-old Dot are great and wonderful, and so It's just all of us figuring out how to live in this new season.
Well, I love that. And I appreciate you guys, you know, being transparent and sharing that vulnerability in what that self-care looks like too. And y'all, I hope that you have felt inspired from today's show, that it has challenged you to find out how you can be more than yourself and serve, and also what self-care looks like for you. But have a fabulous week. And you are listening to Fits Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.